There's one set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11, 11 listeners.
This is
you. You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks Count 50 Days of Dragon Con Countdown, the podcast. And joining me, as always, for these podcasts is the lovely Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I am good. How are you, John?
I am doing fine.
I just so funny when I just heard inconceivable and I went, oh, and we've got Wesley at Dragon Con this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We do. Well, right.
I loved hearing that. And I was like, there we go.
At least as of 53 days out, which is when we're recording this,
yes.
You're probably hearing it around day 48 or 47 away. But we currently do have Carrie Eloise. Somebody said Elways. Somebody said Eloise. I don't know how the exact pronunciation. Yes. Why did I say Gary though?
I don't know. I was wondering about that as well.
We probably do have somebody named Gary going as well.
I'm sure there are a lot of Gary. There's Gary Chalk, and I can't remember who he is, but he's going as well. So we have a lot of people coming.
And again,
we did have a big kind of drop, which was Ernest Borgnine. Excuse me.
Edit. See, you're doing the same thing I'm doing.
No, Ernest Borgnine died today. I just saw it.
Oh, what? He did?
Yeah, he died today.
Are you kidding me? You're not kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I had heard from some other people he was a very, very nice guest when we had him. So it's kind of sad.
Oh, that's awful.
Mm, it is awful. And you're like, oh, man.
All right. That aside, as we always say, everything we talk about in these podcasts is temporary until you've actually seen the guest or you have been at the panel. The panel is tentative. Yes. It's all tentative until they're actually there because things change, especially this far out. And more people will be added by the time we get there. To the day of, and then several people will be probably have to drop out because of other obligations. So
yes, and we do have some. I know we had a question at one point last year. Somebody actually came up and asked, "Is like, why are so many people like right at the end, like June and July and August being added?" And it's because we've probably been talking to them forever, but they finally have said, "Yes, I can come that week," or "Yes, I am open that weekend," because of other commitments as well. So that's why you see a lot of people when people are wondering, why are people added so late? It's, well, this is why.
Right.
But, you know, I also say, and I think we've said before in this cast, if you're coming for just one guest, then you are missing the reason for coming to Dragon Con. So
that is absolutely correct. Well, we actually do have somebody who is part of a team that did such an awesome job last year. And we're very excited to talk to them. Lee, do you want to go ahead and introduce our guest before he's waiting longer than anybody else had to wait for his stuff?
So far, because this is only number two. But yes, I will introduce V. Martin, who is one of the geniuses behind your registration process at DragonCon. So hi, V.
Hey, guys.
Hey. And I didn't know what your official title is other than trying to keep Chip in line, but I think there's something else. So
actually, as much as it hurt maybe to believe, I am listed literally as a Dragon Con volunteer like everyone else.
Just like everyone else. Awesome.
Everyone else. We all are part of the same team.
That's right, we are. But you guys, I mean, so first of all, John better have like a big huge applause button on his soundboard right now, but you guys did a rocking job last year. I mean, it was amazing. I could not believe it.
Well, thank you very much. I tell everybody that myself and 15 of my closest volunteer friends worked many, many months to get everything, you know, polished and to try to give the best experience we can for all the Dragon Con attendees. Almost all of us have been longtime attendees ourselves, and we took great pride in trying to make the experience better.
It was amazing. I was actually outside on, it was either Friday or Saturday morning, right about 10 o'clock. And it had to be Friday morning. And literally at 10 a.m., there was no line. The door a little early. People started going in, and at 10 o'clock, there was no line waiting to get in. And I was absolutely stunned. I could not believe it. And that's just how fast it went last year. And so
it was amazing. It actually exceeded our expectations. And what's really scary is, based on some very small tweaks we've done this year, it's going to be even faster.
Yeah, I mentioned to on the last podcast that I actually heard someone on Friday morning complain, I had to wait an hour because, you know, there were some, you had some glitches Friday first thing. But but I was like, really? An hour? An hour is what you're complaining about. You don't understand.
Was that Friday or was that
legendary 6-hour walk? Yeah.
It might have been Thursday. I forget. I don't know. I think I heard them complain about it on Friday. So it could have been Thursday. Yeah. It could have been Thursday that they went in.
It was on Thursday. Basically, what happened is we do testing. We have a test site where we have the DragonCon servers. We have a full test site of the entire registration system for pre-reg, and we tested assuming two people would be processed at every station per minute. But the system was so smooth that we had some people just amazingly fast getting 3 and 4 people's badges a minute, and the system couldn't keep up, and it actually tickled a bug that we didn't know we had because it was running so fast.
Wow.
So we found that bug.
Because it was running so fast, we found a little bug. Oh, wow. Okay.
So now the good news is we had a triage team. We had a couple of experts there specifically to handle this. And we shut the system down for about an hour and figured out what the problem was, brought the system back up, scheduled more time later so we could gracefully take everything down, put the patch into place, and then we drained. I think we had a line going around the building, and we drained that entire line in less than an hour. And it never, ever got a full line again.
No.
That is awesome, because if anybody, how long, let's start with this. So when did you, when was your first volunteer time, I guess, at DragonCon? When did you join?
I think officially I've done this 3 years now.
Okay. And have you always been in registration?
Yes. From day one, I've been in registration. I started out originally, registration was segregated. We had a pre-reg and we had a on-site. And I started mostly working with the on-site registration team under leadership of John Bunnell and Gus, Papa Gus. And we just, first year I was there, all we did was observe what was going on to try to figure out what was wrong on on-site. And the first year was nothing but just observation and trying to see how everything worked. I worked every single position so I could know where the deadlines were, where the hard parts were, and where the boring parts were. And then we used that to sit down and make a plan of attack. And the next year we addressed on-site. We didn't even touch pre-reg. And we got on-site to the point now where if you know you're going to be coming down to DragonCon and you're going to be registering on-site, we can make it so that your line is very short. But the problem is every person who doesn't pre-register or pre-print out this form makes it kind of slow for everyone else. So on-site has some limitations.
Right.
So the year after that, we decided to address pre-reg. And I take credit for it. I had a brilliant idea, but it still took 15 of us to make it work, where we could just print all the badges on demand at each station. It's a revolutionary new concept. It's not how DragonCon's ever done it.
Nope.
But we took it up to the powers that be, and they had a lot of discussion about changing things because DragonCon always has a reason why they don't do something, no matter what anybody thinks. There's a reason DragonCon doesn't pre-send you badges, and it will never change. There's a good reason. We just don't tell everybody because sometimes the reasons aren't always public, and sometimes the reasons are things that are, it's just, you know, it's a historical thing. Mm-hmm. But we talked to them. They said yes. They spent a lot of money. They bought at least 20 new printers. We developed a new software system from the ground up. John Bunnell was the primary programmer on every single line of that. We tested it for months and months and months, and we brought it online, and it was phenomenal. I mean, it exceeded our expectations.
And, oh, by the way, Lee wanted me to do this.
Okay, thank you.
And very well deserved.
Thank you.
So anybody who had been there, and I guess your first year as a volunteer, but even prior to that, knows the horrors of standing in line and being, you know, the irony is that even before I was doing work with some of the folks there, I used to go in line, I'd pre-reg, but I had never, ever actually had to wait more than 15, 20 minutes. Now, that's just me personally. For some reason, I was always lucky. I always got right in right at the right time or whatever. But I do know several of my other friends, you know, they would wait in line for upwards of three hours to get their pre-reg stuff. So
we actually figured out a lot of reasons why that was happening. Dragon Con used to use, we call it the Luddite method of keeping track of registration, which we printed everything out.
Right.
So that if there was a power outage, or, you know, everybody knows how to flip through pages. So looking for your badge to assemble your badge meant flipping through books. The problem is things like names like McKinnon. Is that MC space Kinnon, or is it MC Kinnon, or is it Mac, M-A-C-K Kinnon? So people's names are spelled differently. And unless you have a chance to train the hundreds of volunteers that are going through registration to help us exactly how to sort everything exactly mm-hmm. the same way, you have no way of guaranteeing consistency. So people would literally skip over people's names, or some people use their middle name or their last name, or they just got married. There's hundreds of reasons it takes one person to take, instead of 5 minutes to get his badge, it takes him 20 or 30 minutes, and all of a sudden you screw the lineup. And you do this for how many, was it 7,000 badges or something like that? Right. And it's nothing you can do. So, you know, there were reasons for it being slow, and we just addressed all those reasons. But I remember myself, I've been at Dragon Con since the first one, and I remember the legendary 4 or 5 hour line.
Mm-hmm.
The story I tell everybody is we had a guy complaining that first year we put things into production because he always met the people he was going to hang out with at Dragon Con in line.
Yeah.
And he had no idea who was going to spend time with at Dragon Con that year because he hadn't met anybody. It was too fast. And I'm like, you know.
Awesome.
We have video. I was like, what do you say to this guy? I'm sorry.
Well, I think it's also funny because that also says something about Dragon Con that, you know, you're standing in line, you figure out a way to make that time useful for you. Hey. And look, you can stand in line and meet somebody who maybe you want to hang out with. So you never know.
I had a girl complaining because she said I always finished my costumes in line and I didn't have time. I got to go back to the room and sit down and sew.
Well, that's a nice problem to have, though. I mean,
exactly.
Atlanta heat or in an air conditioned room? I'm thinking.
Exactly.
I'm going room any day.
Is registration pickup still in Sheraton this year?
Yes, currently it is planned to be in the bottom floor of the Sheraton. We've got a couple of neat tricks we are planning to put into place that should help. The color of your card should be the color of the line you follow.
Oh, okay.
So instead of having to go in there and say, what's the brown line and what's the yellow line, the color of your pre-reg card tells you what line to follow. That way you can just follow, you know, match colors.
It's just
basically evenly distributed. It has nothing to do with A, B, C, or D. It just 1, 2, 3, 4, 1,
well,
2, 3, 4.
The problem we were having is we actually got rid of the A through Z completely in a pre-reg. All stations can print all badges.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem we were having is people who first come there for the first time, where they're going, what line do I follow? I'm pre-reg. And you would think after 15 years of coming to Dragon Con, they would understand that pre-reg hasn't really moved very much. But we figured for those new people, just having it, you know, follow, if you have a blue card, and everyone in pre-reg has the same color card, effectively. But if you have this card, go follow that line is an easier instruction than trying to explain which room you're in.
Okay. So all pre-regs, and I am making this color up, chartreuse. All pre-reg have the chartreuse cards, and they will go that way.
Absolutely. This makes it easy for any. So if anyone else hears that instruction, they can follow that instruction as well. They go, well, my card isn't a color. I won't follow them.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we end up with a lot of people in the wrong lines.
Lee, I don't think you made that color up. I think that color existed before.
No, chartreuse does exist, but I just didn't want to say that was the color of the card, because then all of a sudden everybody is out to hunt down Lee because Lee said chartreuse was pre-reg. And chartreuse is not pre-reg, and I already have enough people trying to find me at Dragon Con. I don't. I yeah, not for other things. Let's not put me on the bad list for that one. And if it is really chartreuse, I am going to laugh my ass off.
Well, I will too, since chartreuse is a color most guys can't recognize.
Okay. Thank God.
Guys have six colors, and that's about it.
And that brings up
six.
And that, don't worry about it.
Okay.
They're all shades of black. The, what do you call it? So that brings up a good point, V. The registration cards. And we talked about this a little bit last year. But these things become way more important than they had been, say, 2 years ago.
They are the most critical component.
Right. You need to bring that with you. Now, if you happen to show up at Lands in Atlanta and go, I forgot, what is the what's the process for getting your badge in the event that you happen to actually forget your card?
Well, there's actually a couple of neat tricks now. One of them is that if you actually have forgotten your actual pre-registration card, we have a special line called the Solutions Line, which is specifically designed for people who've forgotten their card. And if you've forgotten your card, we can look you up. The other thing is that we also have designed every single station. We use a special barcode scan that scans off of that physical card. We can still also do physical lookup by typing in your name. And you have to have a picture ID anyway to get your card, to get your badge. So we can use your name and your picture ID to look you up manually. It's a little slower, obviously. 30 seconds is our... is a good time right now. It may take a full minute if you don't have your actual postcard with you. But we can do that at every single station, even if you don't have it. But just to make things faster... just to make things faster, we can pull those guys out of a line and say, instead of you standing in line and slowing everybody else down, we have another line just for you where all the people who've forgotten their cards are in the same line. Part of it's a punishment to make all those guys remember it next time. And the other thing is, it doesn't slow down everybody else.
I like that. Part of it's a punishment.
It is a punishment.
Let me give you your other punishment. You better have a photo ID. Driver's license, work ID, something with your picture and your name on it. Because that is going to be very important. That's how we make sure that Lee doesn't pick up John's card unless she has a letter from John that they will keep and say, yes, Lee can pick up my card. And here's Lee's name, and here's her photo ID when she picks up my badge. So,
absolutely. It's even worse if you're under the age of consent, under 18. A photo ID isn't what it takes. We need somebody there who's old enough.
Mm-hmm.
So if your mother bought you a ticket, your mother needs to be there to get your badge.
Yes.
Interesting. So, because I do know that at least locally in Atlanta, there are some parents that will just drop their kids off. They do need to.
I have horror stories.
need to come in and at least pick up the badge with the kids so that you know that that Dragon Con knows that they know that their kids are there.
Well, the way it works is this: Dragon Con is not responsible for your children, and you are. And if you're going to be an irresponsible parent and drop a 14-year-old off at Dragon Con without adult supervision, we're not gonna participate in that.
Right.
Nope.
So, you know.
That's
well,
not
and the other
right
thing is, too, is you don't necessarily... how does that work for, like, cash-paying customer? Like, if someone is under the age of 18 and they're coming up, they're going to go buy a day pass, are they allowed to, or do they have to have an adult with them?
They have to have a picture ID. If they're under 18, they have to have an adult, even playing cash. We tried to make the rules as uniform as possible. So on-site registration, which is where everybody pays cash at, you still have to show a photo ID to get a badge. We do have a small problem with registration we're working on now, and that you can usually buy a badge before you pick up your badge. You go through a process where you fill out a form, you pay for it, and then there's another secondary step where you physically print your on-site badge and give it to you.
Right.
Well, we're having to enforce the fact that when you pay for a badge, they have to check your ID then, because we were having a lot of situations a couple of years ago where people were underage or whatever and buying badges and getting to the point where they're supposed to pick them up, and they had no ID. You should not be able to pay for a badge. So occasionally things slip up, and we got thousands and thousands of people coming through, so it's almost impossible to not have a mistake, but especially when we have shift changes. But, you know, we want to get the word out there. You have to have a picture ID and be of age to attend Dragon Con or have an adult there to sponsor you to be your guardian even if you're 16, you still got to have an adult to be there to take responsibility for you, or you will not get a badge.
Right. Now I do know, let me ask you this too, for those of those folks that are new, if I'm going with a bunch of friends, is there a way for me to pick up my friend's badge? Now, interestingly enough, this isn't as big of a problem as it used to be a couple of years ago, I would think, because the biggest reason why you did that is because your friend was coming in an hour later on a different plane,
and you didn't want him to have to wait
4 hours in line. No, so now you can pretty much pick it up almost automatically. But let me ask you, is there a way to pick up somebody else's badge while you're picking up yours?
I believe there is. I think the standard rules right now, and you can quote me on this, but you're going to have to go verify if things change. You have to have a picture ID and a letter signed by the person stating that you have permission to actually pick up their badge.
Now, is it a photocopy?
This is in the case that you're not the same person as a badge and both people are adults. If you're a minor, adults can pick up badges for minors, but they usually have to be related or have to show up as a guardian. So if somebody's taking their daughter and three of her friends, she can get the badges for all three of the young girls.
Okay. Now, is
that... That is actually exactly what worked last year. And what they do is they'll actually keep that letter. Because then if the Martin comes up later and goes, I want my badge, and they go, yeah, we have a letter that you said John could pick up your badge, and here's the letter he signed, and it had all your correct information on it, so we gave him your badge, go find John.
And now they still do need that card, though, correct? When they're picking up the other person's badge, they still need the registration card.
Like I said, if you don't have your pre-reg card, we can still look your if you have a pre-reg badge, even if you don't have the card with you, we can look you up.
Okay.
So it makes it much faster. Like I said, literally, if you bring your postcard, it's a 4-second scan to get you up in the system. But otherwise, you have to have people typing your name in and searching. So you can still pick up a badge.
And even, John, my understanding, and we'll try to get this clarified, I'll put out an email to some people, but my understanding is you can actually do that even if you don't have someone's if you don't have the postcard, you could still pick it up. Again, you still got to go into solutions line instead
for another
of just picking
person.
It up when you're picking yours right then, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're picking up from, you're picking up your girlfriend's badge and you have her ID, you don't have the postcard, you can still pick it up. The postcard is a speed issue. It makes things very efficient. It really gets it down to 20 seconds to get your badge if you have the postcard and a picture ID.
And my other understanding is if you have, because we're still over 50 days out, if you have lost your postcard or anything else, it is still possible to call the office. And they can send you something where you can print it out, or they'll send you another postcard or something like that. But you can email the DragonCon office or call them, and they can help you with
that
if you've already lost your postcard.
Yeah, I can't stress this enough. People don't understand how effective and how wonderful the staff in the front office is. Chip and Brenda, these guys are amazing. They will definitely do everything. The main issue I tell everybody is a lot of folks are like, I'm just not getting it. It's not showing up at my address. If we mailed you your postcard and it comes back to us, we have nothing we can do because we rely on the U.S. Postal Service. So if we mail it to the address you give us and it doesn't show up, there could be 1,000 reasons, but there's nothing we can do. You have to get a verified address. The most common one is, hey, I'm a guy, I buy my girlfriend a pass, and I put both of our addresses down as my address. Well, you can't send mail to someone's address where they don't live because the post office, in many cases, won't deliver it.
Right.
So you need to have it and go to her address or have her officially added to the list of people who can receive mail at your address. And most folks don't know this. We get back hundreds of postcards because people are buying tickets from somebody else and say, well, send them all to my address. We can't do that.
Right.
Because the Postal Service will not deliver to someone who doesn't live there.
Is there any, and this just, I just thought of this, is there any thought of sometime in the future, and of course, I'm not holding you to any of this, and you don't know what's going on anywhere, of maybe emailing those confirmations out in the future?
The problem we have with emailing the confirmations is one of the problems, the same thing we have with emailing emailing badges. We might be able to email you a confirmation telling you, hey, we got this email address, but now we have to say where we get that email address from. People write their email addresses down when they register it with the little white forms when they first come to DragonCon, and people change email addresses fairly common. There's no way to keep that database up. With, 50,000, I think it was 40,000 last year of attendees, imagine trying to keep track of a database of that many people, plus keep it up to date and make sure it doesn't bounce. It's just not feasible for us to keep track of the email addresses.
I have a weird question.
Okay.
If I took a picture, and I don't have a postcard. Actually, my husband does. If we took a picture of our postcard right now, because I have it in my hot little hand,
right.
And we took a picture of it, and we go, okay, then the dog ate it, which is very possible in my house.
Your camera?
And we have
your
it on our Android
camera?
Device. Can that help you? Or Android
Absolutely.
Or iPhone or whatever? Yay!
Yeah, that's one of the secrets we don't talk about that much. But if you actually have a copy on your iPhone or your Android smart device or your BlackBerry, if you can get a picture of the actual barcode off of the actual postcard, we can actually scan that straight off your phone.
So the other thing that folks could do instead of trying to worry about where that card is when they do get it, take it, scan it, and email it to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take a picture of. Now, we will tell you there's a caveat is that our scanners are actually set to scan off paper, which is not as reflective as cell phone screens. So it may take an extra 10, 15 seconds to get it to scan off your phone, which is still infinitely better than not having it at all.
Or even if you just want to keep it as a backup. So, for example, you do want to bring your card. If you've scanned it, you've emailed it to yourself, then if you get there and go, oh, my, I can't find it, there's plenty of places where you can go get emails printed. So.
Yeah, we got lucky. We actually implemented that system as part of the on-site fix. The first year we did fix on-site, we have something called the PDE system, pre-data entry. That little white form that everybody fills out, which is a pain because you have to fill it out by paper. Well, what we do is we have a website. It's a link off the DragonCon website. You go there and you fill out all your information, and then you press the magic button, and it generates a PDF form that you can print out or put on your smartphone that has a QR code with all your information that we would normally type in. It encodes that for quick scan. So if you're on on-site registration, you can have a piece of paper that we can scan, and instead of having to take a minute or two to type in this information and spell check it, it just enters it in immediately.
Nice.
What
Here's the beautiful part. We probably go back to waiting in line 6 hours.
Oh, God.
Theoretically, if everybody on on-site registration brought the PDE forms, it would be the same speed, almost within 30 seconds, of pre-reg.
Awesome. Woo-hoo. Okay, well, so reg is going to be great. Pre-reg is going to be great. Pre-reg now, people. I don't want to hear the bitching about. I don't want to go on LiveJournal or anything else. I'm not going to pre-reg because it'll be faster to pay.
Oh, this is stupid. They got to pre-reg. Pre-reg is the goal. Pre-reg is everything.
And save
and
some
cheaper.
Money so you can buy a new T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Pre-reg is, what, $65, $70 bucks now? Right off the top?
Let's double check.
We're close to deadline, so it might have gone up to 70 or 80 now, but it's still cheaper than buying it on-site. So buy it now.
And,
save some
pre-reg for next year. While you're at the con, buy it. Yes. At the end of the convention, there's a discount. Go ahead and pre-reg for next year while you're at con and save even more money.
You do it the last day of con. Guess what, people? Everybody's tired. Everybody's hungover. It's Monday. Go pre-reg. Then it saves you time later, and it's wonderful. We actually, I think I've said this before last year on the podcast, we buy a ticket for my husband, and every year he pre-reges, and it's half price at con. So I think last year we paid $60 for his ticket because I think it'll get up to $110 or something like that. So, yeah, it was like $55 or $60. It's so worth it. I know our friend Rox does that as well every year. That's what we do. Plan some time Monday during the day before they close up the DragonCon office, the DragonCon store, and do it. So it's great.
Absolutely.
And actually, membership rates as of right now, 53 days out. Actually, if you hear this before, July 13th. July 13th is the deadline. It's $105. After that, it's another $15.
So it'll go up to $120 after July
15th. An entire weekend.
Now.
Yeah.
The guys that still, I mean, and I was listening to another con, and they were talking about oh, it's such a deal. It's such a deal because it's only $75 a day. And I went, if you pre-reg, Dragon Con is less than 20 a day. That's pretty awesome. So for 24/4, I only go 4 days. It's not 24/7. Although there's a lot going on Thursday too. So. You can also pre-reg on Thursday, and you know sometimes they're even really nice and they open a little early. But we won't ask them about that because they don't always promise to do that. It just depends.
Well, I will tell you. I will tell this, and I will probably get in trouble for telling you that. We open early if things are going exceptionally well on the setup and the testing. We always schedule, you know, the published times will always be the situation. Because if something catastrophically goes wrong, we actually have plans in place to bring up our backup system.
Mm-hmm.
So if things are going smooth and well, you know, we want you guys to get your badges early. We want you guys to be able to go do your stuff, especially on the, you know, the Thursday. So we try to do what we can, but we can't, you know, schedule it that early because if something goes wrong, we'll miss our deadlines and it'll be bad for everybody. Everybody will be lined up expecting early and we aren't making it. So we open early when we can. We've gotten lucky a few times, but it's by no means is it consistent.
That's exactly right. Thank you. Okay, so off of registration, as you now may have a tiny bit of time where you can go do something maybe Sunday or Monday. what are you going to try to go do on your own this year at Dragon Con?
I'm actually, I've got a varied set of interests. I'm actually going to go to the Steampunk Masquerade Ball, which is a big thing. I love it. I love the costumes. I love the people. And it's in a wonderful ballroom over in the Westin. I'll definitely be there. I'm going to try to get some things signed over in the comic book alley. I'm going to try to get some comics signed over there, but the lines are always kind of long because that's just a very popular thing. And I'm also going to get a chance. I actually have some friends who are authors, and they sometimes come as attendees versus guests. And I try to catch up with them and see how they're doing. I definitely will have a chance to do that this year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Any big name you're looking to see? Whether it's comics or it's one of the guest stars or what?
It's just going to sound very weird, but I actually don't get as excited about the big stars as I used to anymore.
That's right. You know
I love
what?
To say I did, but you meet these people and they're wonderful people. They're just like you. And I tell everybody else that the attendees at Dragon Con are the real celebrities. I have a lot more fun hanging out with my friends and meeting people I only see once a year.
Yeah. And that is that's something. It's so great because you even see this because even though we're friends and you have known my husband since you were both in college, which was only 5 years ago.
Excuse me, what?
Shut up!
I'm sorry, I didn't know this was the Dream Podcast.
I will kick you. I will. I know you. I won't kick V. I like V. You guys. But we usually, unfortunately, don't see each other except at Dragon Con, but they're great people that you see then. And then you see my son who's 13 and 5 inches taller than me now. People are gonna freak out. They're like, no, that's not that little baby you brought here 13 years ago. I'm like, yeah, it is. That really cute little baby grew up to this. Yeah, there we go. This behemoth.
Do you
I usually take a look on Wednesday. We do set up of the computing systems on Wednesday starting around noon. And usually we get it done sometime around 9 or 10 o'clock and do all the rigorous testing. And I usually sit down and try to go through the website and see if there's anyone that just, oh, wow, I didn't know that person was going to be here. I got to go see him. I've been lucky enough to run into all the big names at one point or another, Nimoy Shatner, people like that. But at some point, it's just so much fun. You know, we're the guys that make the show run. So sometimes just seeing everybody who you know, It's just the biggest excitement is running to the big names.
Yeah, I get just as happy when somebody says, oh, my God, I am so glad I was able to get into this panel or I was able to do this. And I'm like, thank good. That's what we're here for.
Exactly. That's what we're here for. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm sorry, John. I didn't mean to cut you
off. Oh, no. What I was going to ask was since you've been coming there from the very first one, coming there. That's not even proper English. Anyway, since you've been going since the very first one, do you have any memory that sticks out of an experience that you had there that just really solidified Dragon Con for you?
Actually, I've got a couple of ones that really stick out. Many, many years ago, I won't put the exact date on it, the Masquerade was actually in a different was actually over at the a different building off site. They had the buses over there, and we walked over there. I think it was actually at not the Civic Center, but it was another location. It was pretty close to.
It was the Civic Center, but yeah, it was a center at like an auditorium-ish thing. Yeah.
Right. And we were in the balconies and everything else. We were lined up in this, and they had the masquerade, and they had it officially in different categories. Like they had the amateur, the children, and they had the journeyman. We had the journeyman level. These were professional level costumers from Hollywood. And just to see that level of talent show, they did the Wolfman, the Frankenstein and Dracula and all the Mummy. And it was just to watch. Less than 30 feet away to see that level of show was just riveting, and that's actually when I started getting into costume design. And I was doing theater, and because you got to see what the pinnacle looked like, and not on TV, not on a movie, and that was really really moving for me to actually see that close. Another thing in the gaming, we all talk about being the Hall of Virgins. But just being able to run into a whole bunch of people.
In trouble.
You've never heard of that?
No, I've heard of all of. Oh my God, what died in here? But
yeah, we call it.
Yeah,
they have a Febreze River going through it now, so it's not as bad anymore.
Awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's just.
Well, I was in there, and I actually, it's a gaming. It's all the gaming going on. There's Dungeons and Dragons. There's every type of board gaming and a miniature gaming going on, and magic tournaments and everything. And one of the I think it was Larry Elmore wandered through, just wanted to see how the gaming was going, and just to get in and chat with him for a few minutes. He sits down at our table and we start chatting, and then less than an hour later we've got a pickup game going, and it turns out the creators of the game were there watching us play and asked for permission to use our particular, some of the things we had made up and some of the things we did in their game. And you just don't get that kind of opportunity anywhere. Just DragonCon is a very unique experience across the board in everything. I've mixed drinks for celebrities at parties. I've had a chance to go to dinner with them. I've had a chance, you just get all this stuff over 25 years. I could go on and on. It's been amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. Yay!
And somebody asked me once, why do I keep doing this? I mean, I have a nice job. I can buy my badge and go do it. I don't have to be involved in all this stuff.
Right.
And I told somebody once that basically there are people who live their entire lives not feeling like they fit in. And DragonCon is that one time a year when they fit in and they're just like everybody else, or maybe even they're a celebrity, and they live 362 days waiting for those 3 days. And if those people don't have that release and that vindication, their lives are not as rich, not as vibrant. And I want to be someone who helps those guys be able to do that. That's why we all volunteer.
That is awesome.
That is the most eloquent answer we've ever had to the question of why do you do this. And thank you, actually. I'm almost getting a little teary-eyed here, which is not good.
Holy!
I am! I mean, that's really... That's true, though. I mean, this is... it's so funny because you say that, and when I say I work at DragonCon at work, people are like, oh, and they kind of give me that look. Although, of course, we all have the secret handshake for those of us who actually do go to DragonCon and work for work. But
exactly.
Yeah, but then I go to DragonCon and I'm like the most boring person in the room. I'm not in costume. But I'm having a great time.
Right. But I think DragonCon is a amalgamation of all the creativity and the expressiveness of pop culture and everything all in one area. It's a powder keg of creativity waiting to explode. And anybody who doesn't want to go to that, I question how creative they really are.
Wow. And he just laid down the gauntlet, folks.
of course,
if you're listening to this podcast,
DragonCon's a bunch of geeks. Well, come show us what it's really like. I promise you, you come to DragonCon, you'll be pre-ready for next year.
Yes, that is for sure. And you actually, you said something that I'm, it's also what I do, which is, I go for my friends just to see all my friends, and not just the friends that I hang out with usually on the Unique Geek or whatever. It's also other folks that I've made, friends that I've made through DragonCon, through going all these years. And in fact, you know, Lee, I met at DragonCon.
At DragonCon.
And so, you know, all this, you know, all this builds friendships, not just, you know, and I'm not interested in any of the big guests or anything like that. That doesn't make any, I don't ever really go to any of the panels unless I'm scheduled to record them. I just go to hang out with everybody and to see all the costumes and to see all the people and just to have a grand old time and to be with like-minded people. So it is like you said, just a veritable melting pot of people.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's awesome.
It really is. I've converted so many people who'd heard about it for years, converted them over. Say, look, just come by to Sheraton and watch the lines. Talk to the people in line, and that'll convince you.
Well, there's no lines anymore. So what are they going to do?
Well, there's no lines anymore. You screwed up.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Dude.
Well, what we've been doing now is the last year, I was actually standing out helping. We actually have pictures of people running in line to keep up with it.
Because
they couldn't, you know, the line was going so fast they couldn't sit. So people bought those little chairs, those special chair canes and stuff, and couldn't actually use them because it was going too fast. So we have people out there. We're trying to just, you know, move along. Don't bother sitting down. It won't last long enough. People stand out there and they go, what's going on? But you see all the people in costume. The thing in the world is going to pre-reg, you see everyone. Because pre-reg still has a line because people have to fill out those forms.
Right.
Now, can't do the pre-data entry form and you don't have to. But, you know, people who hear about DragonCon on TV and all that kind of stuff, they don't know about the pre-data entry form, so they show up and they have to do it by pencil.
So
those folks are still going to have a line. Yeah.
On-site. There's
nothing
we can
do about
red.
That. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But still, you know, you go talk to those guys, and they're like, they're excited, and their kids going, wow. You know, there's Power Rangers still running around, and, you know, everything, and, you know, there's half, this number of superheroes in costume and everything.
I have told so many friends with little kids that don't want to come back on the whole thing with little kids. I understand that. It is a lot of people, and they get tired, and you don't want to do that. Come to the Saturday parade, because I have not yet seen one kid that does not get excited about something in the parade, whether it's the superheroes walking down or the stormtroopers
or Harry Potter or any of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Listening to those little kids go, oh my God, you know, it's just great. And it's, you just got to grin when you hear that, because that's just adorable too. So,
now, I'm gonna actually disagree with you slightly. Saying it's no longer adequate to go to the parade. The parade is just really packed. I heard that DragonCon is actually gonna limit the number of people in the parade so they can actually keep it short enough so people can actually see it. But this last year, I went to the parade this last year with my lovely fiance, and wow, it was 5 or 6 people deep. If you didn't get there early, you couldn't see anything. Even putting her on my shoulders, she could barely see. It's just too many people because it's such a wonderful event. So what I'm telling people now is, hey, something new and novel. We sell one-day badges. Come down. If you don't want to spend the full thing, you know, 110, just come get a one-day badge. Even on Monday, come on a one-day Monday. There's still stuff going. Plenty of things scheduled on Monday. Plus, you still get to attend the dealer's room. And you can still see a lot of what's going on. Monday is the slow day, which is a great reason to come by if you're a new person. You don't get all the crowds, and you still got all the excitement going on.
Yeah, and I also think Friday's a great day to come for a one day. Because then
absolutely.
You can start
Friday's the best thing. Friday is the best day.
Because then it's just spring up, and it's all that. But the reason I say for the parade, too, is especially with little kids, it gets them started in it, and they're like, well, I want to go keep doing this. And then the parents are, like, suckered into coming into Dragon Con, which is
absolutely.
I'm really
first
trying to get
free.
That's right, man.
Well, actually, it's $105.
That's why there's free comic day.
Now, you and I aren't big fans of the big guest necessarily, but if you could have any three guests, living or dead, they would arrive alive. Non-zombies. Although, unless, I guess, well, yeah, Walking Dead's fairly popular. I guess you could have some zombies if you want. And it takes place in Atlanta, so they'd probably be easy to get there. If you could have three guests, who would they be?
Oh, wow, that's a tough one. Well, you know, I'll go with my tried and true. I want Isaac Asimov, pretty much the father of modern-day science fiction robotics, and just a swell guy. I would love to have a panel and just get to pick his brain and hear what he thinks about it. Yeah, he's long gone now, but still, I'd love to get a chance to talk to him. He's why I read science fiction. He's what got me into it, really. I'd probably actually want to spend some time with Bruce Campbell.
Ah, yes, Bruce.
You know, speaking of zombies, I think Bruce would be just incredibly entertaining. And he'd be the kind of guy you want to have a beer with afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, has Bruce ever been?
I want to say yes, but I can't remember. I can never remember him actually being scheduled and showing up.
Not since I've been going. No.
But, you know, they're trying to get him and Nathan Fillion to show up.
Yeah,
I don't know what that meme is about, but they're trying to get him to make a movie together with Nathan Fillion. So.
That would be awesome.
And the last one is, I'm actually an old school comic guy. I've got 40,000, 50,000 comics in my basement. And some of the old writers for the Justice League, John Fox and Mr. Gardner, I love to talk to those guys, the guys who defined comic books in the 70s. And the Justice League was one of the premier superhero comics at the time. I'd love to talk to them about, you know, how things have changed and, you know, what inspired them to write the types of stories they wrote. Because, you know, comics to me are just another great medium for telling a great story, just like a movie is another medium. And I love it, but I always thought that medium was so a hybrid of word and picture that I'd love to talk to those guys.
Well, let me ask you, since you addressed that, and I too am a very big comic fan, how do you feel about what's going on with all the movies that are being made? Now, I'm loving the fact that they're actually being well done for the most part, but how do you feel about it becoming more and more mainstream and then basically just taking the comic books apart and moving them to movies?
Well, because I'm a big comic fan, I'm actually okay with the mainstreaming superhero comics because they are having to modify the medium. I mean, they're not doing the traditional versions of the heroes I grew up with necessarily. They're actually doing hybrids of them from the various incarnations. You know, Captain America, his costume is directly from the Ultimate Comics version of Captain America, even though his history and origin is exactly the same as the one that, you know, I grew up with when I was younger. So I think they're having to evolve these characters and tell interesting stories. And anything that helps you tell a great story, I'm all for. And how do you introduce the next generation of kids to these heroes if there aren't, unfortunately, any movies for them to watch? Kids don't read as much as they used to. They want to play a game instead. So just get them to want to go back and read, you know, the first 100 issues of a comic book. I'm great, you know.
I guess that's kind of where I was going with that is that, you know, when we were growing up, it was just, you know, comic books, and that was it. There were some attempts at some points to make some of the cartoons.
Oh, wow. Can we not talk about Fantastic Four movie on the original one?
No, I think that we should. I think we should spend like an hour talking about it. No.
That would be called, there is another podcast where they do that, Vivi, and you could do and get all the arguments in at one point.
So the kids that are coming to up today are now seeing these versions of the heroes as opposed to the versions that we grew up with, which, you know, is always is fine. Everyone has their own
variation. Everybody has their own favorite car, so to speak.
Right. But I just, you know, I'm just wondering if at some point it becomes more, it does more harm than good in at some point.
I think it is possible. I think that the reboot recently in the movie of Spider-Man, after having had three movies, having another reboot of the series, you know, kind of had me worried. I was okay with three Spider-Man movies. You've seen Spider-Man at his beginning, at his middle, at his height, at his depths. You told a lot about the character. You didn't have to go anymore. And to start it over again with a new director, even though I think the movie's going to be great, I haven't had a chance to see it yet, I was concerned that they're just trying to milk the money for it. You know, just trying to milk it. You know, hey, people will see another Spider-Man movie. Notice people stopped seeing all the Superman movies, and, you know, after Superman 4, people started kind of saying, these are too cheesy, these aren't useful anymore.
Right.
And so when they rebooted Superman, you know, it was nice in that it was a little different, but once you jump that shark, people aren't willing to really invest anymore. And I am concerned if they eventually get so popular that they jump the shark with it, we're going to lose. And but I've heard good things about the Spider-Man movie, so I'm thinking they were safe there. But, you know, they remade the Hulk movie, and we got lucky. It was very good.
Yes. Yes, it was.
They did, but all it takes is a bad remake of, you know, something else, and we're in trouble.
Although I still argue I did like the Hulk. I did like Ang Lee's version. But I liked it for different reasons. I didn't like it because it was a good Hulk story. I thought it was actually very well. Because actually the writing on it was a little bit weak. But I liked it for various other reasons. I thought the acting actually was very good for what it was. And the cinematography and everything. Now let's not get into it. we could go on and on
it's
about
okay.
this.
I'm listening.
We could go on and on about this. So we already covered your three, right? Yeah, we covered your three.
Yeah, we covered all three.
Yeah.
So that's good. Sweet. So if people want more information about maybe going on and pre-registering now or looking at Dragon Con's registration process or anything else, where should they go?
Actually, the main DragonCon website. It can be a bit intimidating because we've got a lot of information out there, but DragonCon is a lot of information. But there should be, one of the top sections on it should be registration, and you can get information about all that. And also, let's not forget, you can always, always, always call the main office, and Chip will be happy to answer your questions about that.
Absolutely. And if you've lost your card, give them a call. Let them know you lost it now before it's too late.
Yes. Stress. If you have not received your card yet, you should have. Call them. Work with them. Assume when they tell you something and it doesn't work for you, assume you did something wrong and call them again because they've been doing this for years. The odds of them making the mistake are much, much lower than you.
Right. And just to let you know that if you're looking for the DragonCon membership website, it's really not tough. It's dragoncon.org/members.php.
Right.
So
or
that gives you, that is all, it's on the main DragonCon page at dragoncon.org under memberships, and then you can see everything else about how to buy a membership, how if you had to transfer a membership, or, and then there's, of course, the contact.
Actually, that's something worth saying. There are no membership transfers at the con.
There are no, yes, that is a big one now. There are no membership transfers at the con. You must do it. I wanted to say it was 2 weeks before last year.
2 weeks before the con.
There's information on the page. Yeah.
But you cannot do a transfer under any circumstances on site anymore.
Okay, actually, it's not even 2 weeks anymore. Transfers will only be allowed 30 days or more prior to the show. So as you're listening to this, you have about 20 days. There's still a transfer fee. It's $20 to transfer. And it can't be transferred forward to the following year. So
There's no basically, the only thing you can do is transfer it. Yeah.
Right. I tell everybody, transfers are basically the last ditch effort. You can't make it a month ahead. You got something you got to do. You want to give it to someone else. It's $20, and they don't have to pay the full price. Do not think I'm going to sell my membership and get my money back. Transfers are not ever going to make you money, ever.
No. Right, because they could just go buy it anyway.
Exactly. It's never going to make you money, and it's a $20 fee going with it. You're down $20 right there.
Which, because if you look at the price, it's a $15 difference afterwards, so.
Exactly. It doesn't help you.
Oddly enough.
Or if you're giving your badge away.
Or if you can't go and your buddy's willing to give you $50 for it or whatever, so.
But you're not going to make
money.
You don't want to waste it.
Right. If they want to get a hold of you or anything, is there a way to get a hold of you, Twitter or something like that?
Strangely enough, I don't hide too well. You can actually find me anywhere. It's a nasty habit. I got out of it years ago. I'm really horrible at hiding. Very gregarious and loud, guy. You can find me on Facebook at Vernard Martin. And I do believe I do have a Twitter account. And the Twitter handle is Just a Guy Called V.
Just a Guy Called V. All right. Let's see. Is there anything else we need to cover, Lee?
Just a reminder. Bring your ID. Bring your postcard. Get in the pre-reg line and have a lot of fun.
Have a lot of fun.
Please remind everyone to have fun, because otherwise they won't remember to have fun.
Because otherwise people forget and then they think it's a chore, and it's not a chore. It's supposed to be fun.
Yes. Let's see. Anything? Nope. Okay. I think we got rid of everything. All right, V.
We did it all.
Thank you very much.
Huzzah.
Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate
your time. Thank you very much for inviting me.
And, let me ask you, actually, there was one thing. I was thinking about it. If people want to volunteer for registration, now, I actually have a question about that. It used to be registration was the one thing that always had need volunteers, but given the new processes, do you still have a big need for volunteers, or?
Absolutely. You got to understand two things about registration is on-site registration still has a line because we get people who just walk off the street and want to register, and they have to fill out the form, stand in line, pay, come over and get to show their ID, and that still can take an hour to do if we have thousands of people coming off the street. A lot of people do that, so we can use people in registration. Additionally, even though things are moving fast, we have two people, a person at every station, and one extra person building badges. So we can still use a lot of people. It's a lot of manual, physical, finger labor, and we don't want to wear these guys out. So we, you know, everybody does, I think, 25 hours of volunteer time, but we like to rotate them out enough so they don't do like 6 hours at once.
Right.
So, yeah, we really can use more people.
Okay, awesome.
In registration, you can get a lot of your hours in, like, the Thursday, which is the unofficial first day of con.
Absolutely.
And then the official first day of con, because that's when you can get a lot of your hours in and done then, which you still have time for con.
We have people who try to come in at opening and stay till closing. You know, just break for lunch and a break. We actually bring them donuts too when they're doing it. But they break for lunch, break for bathroom breaks, and they will get 10 hours in one day.
Yep. Well, just because it's a big time and you got it all done, so that's a good thing.
Oh yeah.
So there you go. So cool. Well, thank you very much for doing this. This was a lot of fun.
Like I said, it's been an absolute blast, and I'll be definitely listening to all your other podcasts.
Appreciate it.
Oh, God, no. Don't listen to all of them. No.
You don't have much time. You need to make sure that registration process is just 2 seconds faster. That's what we need.
Yeah,
two more seconds. Because the next complaint we'll hear is that I had to wait 37 seconds. And then everyone will think.
Well, as I tell everybody, there's always something to fix. There's always something to fix. I mean, we have plans. That's all I'll say.
All right, sweet. All right, I guess that's it. That's what I'm trying to say. saying goodbye for, this is John saying goodbye. That's what I'm trying to get to. This is John saying goodbye to V and Lee. And until next time, peace.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.